And with a look in the backcountry on the phone with us from the Utah Avalanche Forecast Center, Trent. Good morning, Trent.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, Devin, with some encouraging weekend weather there. Pretty stoked. Your backcountry rider. It's gonna be one for getting out and around in the mountains, the ski resorts. It should be a really nice weekend. You know, yesterday we talked about those wind speeds picking up, and that's just what they did. They grabbed a bunch of snow from one ridge line and sent it on into the slope, and we had a fairly widespread, you know, avalanche activity, especially in mid-Big Cottonwood Canyon, which isn't that far from the Park City Ridge Line, but we were seeing avalanches, you know, breaking about 100 feet wide and 4 to 5 feet deep and taking out the entire season snowpack on the ground, weak snow that's down there on the ground. So definitely some of the larger and a little bit more scary avalanches were triggered yesterday. Again, these weren't triggered by skiers. This was triggered by wind loading as that snow gets deposited onto those slopes. Down in the Provo area mountains, we saw some really big avalanches, some up to 1,100 feet wide, running a couple thousand feet down the mountain. So they also had a fairly significant avalanche cycle down in the Provo Mountains. If you're going to get out today, especially along the Park City Ridgeline or, you know, anywhere, therefore, in the Salt Lake City Mountains, we have a considerable avalanche danger on all steep upper elevation slopes that are facing northwest through southeast. And those are especially dangerous with recent wind drift. If you're heading out to the Uintas to ride or ski, snowmobile, Craig Gordon out there forecasting also has a lot of the same issues that we have here in the Salt Lake Mountains. So any of those upper elevation slopes that have been wind loaded also have a considerable danger out there.
Okay. Hey, Trent, thanks for your help. KPCW News Time now, 8:10. Right now, though, let's turn to Summit County Manager Tom Fisher. The county council meeting tomorrow starting at 1 o'clock. They'll be at the Sheldon Richens Building and in the studio, as I mentioned. Tom Fisher, good morning.
Good morning, Leslie.
Let's start with the legislative update. There's a reference here to a bill from Senator Kevin Van Tassel saying that if there's a dispute between a local community and the oil and gas industry, the final word would come from the State Division of Oil, Gas, and Mining. So if this bill existed at the time, could it have had an impact on, say, the Tesoro pipeline that we saw a lot of?
Yeah, we're not exactly sure about that, but that's exactly the kind of thing that we're concerned about and the council's concerned about, because any time that jurisdiction on local land use goes up to the state level, it takes away local control. And, you know, we're here on the ground, probably can make the best decisions for our local communities, and we like to be able to do that.
So is the State Division of Oil, Gas, and Mining a nonpartisan or, I mean, objective group? Or their interest is oil, gas, and mining.
I think the main point for us is that it's not a local decision if it goes up that high.
Okay. So any chance to tweak and compromise it? The staff report says that Kim Carson and Glenn Wright council members have had trouble even contacting the Senate.
Yeah, this one looks like a pretty strong push by the oil and gas industry. Senator Van Tassel has given an opening if we can get all the groups together at the table before the end of the legislature or before it's voted on and to look for a compromise. We're working on that.
All right. What about the status of Senate Bill 218? This is the bill to ban bags.
Well,
bags.
And bags are just one of the things. It's all containers that could contain processed food, and so it's problematic, especially given what Park City has put in place in the last year. We're not for this bill, and we have contacted our local legislators to do that, or to indicate that. It really restricts, restricts local control and local choice.
And the proposal to do away with the death penalty, the report says that the Utah Sheriff's Association opposes it, and it's asking the Utah Association of Counties to take a stand.
Yeah, so the Sheriff's Association at the Thursday meeting of UAC did ask that. We'll get an update this week on Thursday again where UAC is going to wind up on that. My guess at this point is that they're going to remain neutral, but we'll see.
How does Sheriff Justin Martinez stand on it?
Can't speak for Sheriff Martinez. You'll have to ask him yourself.
Also, a briefing on wildfire management. Are we preparing then for a dry summer?
Well, we're always preparing for a dry summer. The last few years have, even with a good snowpack last year, was a dry year. So we always have to be out here talking about this, and our council's interested in it. And we have a couple of council members that are specifically out talking to people about wildfire and encouraging people to prepare. So it's just a regular update. It starts our process as we get into fire season and the state forester starts to put out information about where he sees fuels being a problem in our county.
The Olympic Legacy Foundation will be constructing its athlete and employee housing as well as a new zip line there at Bear Hollow. They want conduit financing from Summit County. What's this?
So it's a way that counties can provide tax-exempt bonds without any county fund obligation to a group like the Olympic Foundation in order to do projects like this. So we just act as kind of a facilitator of the bond, and the only thing that it affects us is that it does go against our bond rating, but it has no county funding involved in it whatsoever.
No obligation is what you mean.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And how does it affect the bond rating?
Well, it just goes against our total bond issuance that we're allowed, either by state law or federal rules. And so that's a consideration as we go out and do other types of bonds for transportation, for other types of things. The analysis is that this is not going to affect our bond rating. It's going to remain strong. But and it's because of the conservative approach this county takes towards bonding.
So is there a recommendation?
I believe we're going to recommend that the council move forward with this. And so far the indication is that they want to help.
Yeah, and how much are we talking about?
We're talking about $19.5 million. And those two projects you mentioned, plus a project at the Kearns Ice Sheet, which also means that we'll have to be in an interlocal agreement with Salt Lake County in order to facilitate that.
I'm surprised. So why not go to Salt Lake? Seems like they'd have a much better.
Because the bulk of the bond money is going to be spent in Summit County.
Okay. Let's see. You'll be discussing the solid waste management plan, and this is to reduce garbage out of the landfill?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the biggest things that we can do to save money in the future is slow down the rate of our landfill being filled up. Right now, we've got about 35 years left in the current 3-mile landfill, which is where all of our municipal trash goes to. One of the biggest contributors to filling up that space, even though it's not a lot in tonnage, is cardboard. So one of the recommendations that you're going to see out of this plan is that we really work on reducing the amount of cardboard that goes into our landfill.
Well, don't we need to talk to residents, though, about stopping online shopping? Because that's where it's coming from, right?
Well, but we have residential recycling, and it takes cardboard already. Some of our bigger contributors, you know, you'd think that it would be like the Walmarts and the Tanger outlets of the world, but they already bundle and take that stuff away because you can make money on it. It's really our smaller retailers that are some of the biggest contributors to that. Because there's just not an efficient way yet for them to collect and put it together. So we can help with that.
Yeah. So we're talking about a recycling transfer station?
Yeah, that could be part of it, or just doing stuff on site. I mean, we've got retail nodes that we can deal with, and if we can work with those landowners to put a program together, we might be able to do some of that on their property.
Okay. Let's see, a continuing discussion about the cooperation agreement with Rocky Mountain Power. Have we changed the provision that Council Member Roger Armstrong objected to, and that was pledging the county not to seek alternative energy sources? It looks like the paragraph hasn't changed.
So that's because we were not able to get the new language in the document before it went to print. And those are actually going to come off the agenda this week today because they're not ready and they haven't been reviewed by Rocky Mountain Power. But we have new language that we're proposing to them. We gave that to them yesterday. We hope to have that back on the agenda next week.
Okay, and then a joint meeting with planning commissioners on affordable housing. The Jim Wood report apparently says that affordable housing is still a serious problem. Is it worse than the last report in 2012?
I don't know how to judge whether it was worse or better. It just shows that the amount of production of affordable housing in the full range, even up to 120% AMI, we're just not keeping up with that. And you know, we talk a lot about the property values in our county and how much property is available for development, and those are contributors. So if we're going to have housing as one of our strategic effects and we want to have certain kinds of folks living in our community so that they don't have to commute in all the time, this is a discussion. And so this begins a planning effort with some data behind it in order to determine what the council will want to do.
Council will be meeting with the East County Planning Commission Thursday about the affordable housing requirement at both Promontory and then on the East Side Development Code. So why a special meeting on this?
So a special meeting just because normally, we had this joint meeting already scheduled on Wednesday, so we couldn't do both. But there's some specific questions that the Planning Commission and the Council need to discuss around the affordable housing obligations at Promontory, as well as some of the changes that have been made recently about the East Side Code before the Council takes up their final deliberations.
Okay, anything else you wanted to mention?
Just that we're recruiting for the Snyderville Basin Open Space Committee right now. It closes at 5 o'clock tomorrow. So anybody that's interested in open space in the Snyderville Basin and wants to contribute to that, please apply.
Okay. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
Well, the Park City Planning Commission meeting tomorrow starting at 5:30 in the City Council Chambers. In the studio with a rundown, I have Planning Director Bruce Erickson. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, Leslie.
So do we have a full Planning Commission?
We do not. The City Council's still in the interview mode. We interviewed 9 candidates last week. We'll interview 2 more on Wednesday night, and then the City Council will discuss it. Either during their retreat on the 1st and 2nd of March or before the 8th of March. Right now we're running at a basic quorum. Four.
Okay.
We have 2 commissioners that have asked to be reappointed, and then we have 3 new slots to fill Steve Joyce's, Adam Strawn's, and Preston Campbell's slots.
Okay. So we should know shortly then.
We'll know shortly.
Okay. Let's see. First up on the agenda tomorrow is the draft forestry plan. What's this?
Well, this is a long-going mission on the part of the city engineer. We've been a Tree City USA for many, many years, and one of the things that we're required to do is have a forestry plan. This is what we call an urban forestry plan, and the city engineer and I don't agree on the word urban, but basically this is for the trees inside the developed areas of the city, not necessarily the wildland fire area or the open space trees. So what city engineer has done is gone out and provided good, solid technical specifications for which trees to plant, what plant materials to plant, drought tolerant, low water use, consistent with the native plants, non-invasive. So it's an important plan. The Planning Commission just needs to know it exists. We're going to adjust our plan to make sure that we're consistent with them as well.
So does it deal with, like, deadfall and what we do with that and who's responsible for it?
It does inside the urban boundary. It does not inside of the open space lands, which is something Heinrich deals with.
Okay. Also on the agenda, Park City Heights, the applicant requesting a final subdivision plat for the second phase, I think 39 homes. Any issues there?
No. Actually, I just wanted to put out there that the second phase does not have any affordable housing, but they are on track. My information from Kirsten Whetstone is that in phase one, we had 28 townhomes and 35 park homes that are all deed-restricted affordable housing. Currently, 6 park homes and 10 cottage homes are under construction. So Jason Glidden and our housing manager, are getting ready to do those deed restrictions right now. So you've got 16 additional affordable housing units under construction at Park City Heights right now.
And is that pretty much all there is?
No, there's more to go. Phase 3 is required, and they have a timing schedule. Ivory Homes and Anne Laurent, the community development director, and the Housing Authority have agreed on a phasing schedule. They are consistent with it, and we're driving some of that housing forward.
What about pricing? Because I know at one point the applicant wanted to charge more than was originally intended for these units, and that's just because of the cost of construction, I think.
Right. And so Ivory Homes and the Housing Authority, which is the City Council, have agreed on a pricing strategy and the average median income that they're trying to serve.
Okay, that's basically it for the agenda. But let's just talk briefly about what's in the planning pipeline. You were telling me that there may be an annexation request for the Mountaintop subdivision. That's above Ridgeview and Park Meadows. Why do they want to be in Park City?
Well, Mountaintop's been around for a number of years, and we redid their intersection probably 15 years ago when the Ridgeview subdivision went in and also the Sandstone Cove subdivision. Their water system is substandard. The fire district has some concerns about the ability to deliver water up there. So we're looking at it. They've made the application to do it. They've had conversations with us for a decade, and we're giving it some consideration. They've asked for some exceptions to the land management code because their homes are a little bit bigger than what we would approve, and they're on a ridgeline, which we would not normally approve. So this is a difficult one for us, and I think the Planning Commission and the City Council are going to have a conversation.
So it's not built out then? There would be
They have two lots remaining.
Mm-hmm. So is Summit County okay with all of this? Because they're losing all of the property taxes, some pretty valuable property.
Yeah. Right. They are in our annexation policy declaration boundary. So we've been in communication with the county and made sure this is all okay. The Park City Fire District serves them. Park City Police does the emergency response, and Summit County Sheriff does the investigations and the larger responses up there. So we're already providing service. They're kind of driving on our Ridgeview roads right now. So it's an interesting issue for us.
Okay. When does that come before the Planning Commission?
It'll go to the City Council for acceptance or denial of the petition request itself on the 8th. Once that happens, then we have a clock to bring it to the Planning Commission and back to the City Council.
Okay. And then what's happening with the conditional use permit for the Kimball Garage outdoor events space?
We're still in conversations with the applicant. They had some alternative proposals that they've walked away from now, and they're coming back with the outdoor event space. They're doing some outside technical analysis about noise. And making sure that they're compliant with the noise ordinance. We've asked for additional information about drop-off, load-in, load-out, how all those things will handle on Heber Avenue. Once those are responded to, then we'll bring it back to the Planning Commission for review.
All right. And as you have told us all along, this space could, without a conditional use, become outdoor dining space. But they would require some conditions to have outdoor, have live music?
Yes, that's true. The conditions would probably be the same whether it was a restaurant or outdoor event.
All right. And so when do you expect that to get back before the Planning Commission?
Oh, I would like to see it in March, Leslie. It's up to the applicant when they come back. But I think the public is still concerned. And you know, the folks that live on Park Avenue and Upper Woodside want to have a resolution in this, and so do we. The building is moving towards completion. The roof is back on, so.
All right. Real quick, what's going on, and I think it's about wrapped up, but there's been lots of noise and digging under Meadows Drive there between the golf course and then the North 40 fields.
Right. So this is one of those invisible projects that only engineers understand. There is a drainage pipe that goes from our lakes into the wetlands just to the east, and that went underneath Meadows Drive. And that pipe was what we call floating, in that it wasn't set in its foundation, and so it was moving up and down when the water was going, so it was kind of making a mess of the street and potential flooding. So the city engineer is out there trying to get that pipe replaced. There's every utility in the world under that asphalt, and some of it was put in the late 80s, and no one knows where it is until you dig it up. So we're trying to maintain service to everybody while getting that pipe put back to bed like it's supposed to.
Okay, so it's just a drain pipe, huh?
It's just a drain pipe. It's replacing an existing drain that goes through there. Anybody that walks their dog on the North 40 or goes on that little walking path through there knows where the pipe is.
Yeah, seems like it's been going on a long time.
It's a long, difficult project. It started in the wintertime. You're trying to deal with snow and snow removal and pumping wastewater through there. It's a problem, and the city engineer's got it.
Okay, Bruce, I need to leave it there. Thanks for your
time
this morning. That's Park City Planning Director Bruce Erickson. You're listening.